Hey, it's me, Richie T, and on the phone with me. We've never done this before. They didn't know that, but we are going to try and do this all a speakerphone. It's Nikki, Matt, and Eric. It's Little Daylight. Thanks, you guys, for being here with me.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hi.
Now, when we talk about here, where I'm here in Utah. You are where?
Thanks to the power of technology, we're speaking to you from Greenpoint in Brooklyn,
okay.
Which is where our studio is located. So we're sitting right in our studio.
And so we're good and soundproof there on the studio. Is this where you guys recorded your EP?
We've been jumping around from a few studios. We were in Park Slope in Brooklyn earlier in the summer. We actually just moved into this studio in Greenpoint. We're going to be here for the rest of the winter. And, yeah, we kind of jump around from place to place.
Now, when you say the rest of winter, is it one of those things where you guys kind of lock yourself in? You're like, we got to write new stuff. And Nikki sits at the window going, hey, guys, I think it's almost spring and we can get out of here.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah.
That's actually exactly how that works. Good call. I'm the one by the window doing the meteorological stuff.
It's very similar to an igloo in that we let ourselves get frozen in and we light a little fire and it's a musical fire.
Oh, I love it. We light the musical fire within, and then it burns down the walls, and it sets us free. That's what our music is all about.
We're taking that lyric. That's going to be the lyrics.
That's our new song. Thanks so much.
Okay, good. See? I need to be locked in there with you guys, I think, is what that sounds like.
Come on down.
Don't say it. Do not say it if you do not mean it.
No, we mean everything we say. That's the Little Daylight credo.
It's on the side of the bus. It's on the side of the van.
We're making t-shirts.
How did you guys get together? How'd you all find each other?
Matt and I, this is Eric speaking, Matt and I grew up together. We played in bands since high school, and we became friends with Nikki a couple years ago and kind of toyed around with doing something all together. And finally last year we decided, let's do it, start a band.
So what was the name of your terrible band in high school? Because everyone has a terrible band in high school, and that band always has a terrible name.
Yeah. Matt, you want to give it to him?
Yeah. So it was called Basement, but the spelling of the bass part of Basement was B-A-S-S, like a bass guitar, let's say. I played in that band.
We love the low end in that band.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. It was a terrible name, and it embarrasses me for the rest of my life that was our band name.
But didn't you guys also do a Basement in the Basement series?
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the apogee of your band.
We had a concert series called Basement in the Basement, where the basement was spelled B-A-S-S, and the second one was spelled B-A-S-E. And I think we did five or six of them, and they were very well attended for a high school band.
I was not a part of that band, for the record.
And every time you got introduced, it's like, everyone, Basement in the Basement. Yay!
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Coming up after them, the Oneaters, which...
I remember that movie.
Yes, thank you. That's one of my favorite things. And especially when you hear, you know, bands that are like, well, what we want to do is we want to pay homage to the Beatles, so we're going to spell Basement with, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. I get it. It's a misspelling, and everyone will remember it and never be able to pronounce it.
Right.
You guys have been together then, it sounds like, what, a couple years? With Nikki
well,
and
Paul? We formed this band early last summer, so just over a year. It was pretty new, actually. We just started playing live together about 6-7 months ago.
And I read a few things online that call you guys Lush Pop. Do you guys care to talk about that at all?
There, you know, it's hard to find the right words to describe music sometimes, and people have tried a lot of things. The words like dream pop get out there, alt pop, alt electro. It's kind of frustrating, actually, because our hope is that people will listen to music and come up with their own feelings and emotions about it, but then you do sometimes have to put a word to the page about it. So I don't know. We leave it up to you and you guys listening.
But
if you want to talk about the kind of sounds that are in our music, we do electronic sounds along with like more traditional, you know, rock guitar and bass and drums. So it's kind of a mesh of electronic and traditional rock.
You know what I think would be easier than trying to talk about it without listening to it? Why don't we listen to some of it?
Oh,
Sounds good.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Which one should we do? Should we do Overdose or Glitter and Gold?
Let's start it out with Overdose.
Okay. So we're going to play a little bit of Overdose, and then we'll come back and talk about it. All right, so that is a little bit of Overdose there. Let's get in on it. Now people know what it sounds like. There's some pretty cool lyrics within that, but talk about how the song came about.
Well, the concept for the song is basically when you're in a romantic situation and it's with someone or a situation that you know isn't necessarily great for you, but the feeling is strong and it's kind of heady and it's a rush and you want to stay with it even though it's really maybe not the healthiest thing for you. And that's the idea behind the song.
So who is that? Who's drawing on their poor, healthy, not good for them relationship for that song?
Well, it's mostly from my unhealthy relationship past, but I'm happy to say I'm not in that relationship. So it's purely speaking from past experience.
So was it the other guy that was unhealthy, or were you in a bad place?
I don't know. I mean, I hope...
Definitely
their
fault, right?
Yeah, it's definitely their fault. No, I hope that the song's relatable for everyone. So I try not, you know, hopefully not too specific to my own situation, that it's not applicable to the guys and their situations.
Yeah, we write our lyrics collaboratively a lot. So somebody comes with an idea or a story from their life, and then we often talk about how it relates to things that happened in each of our lives. And I can say for sure I've been in a relationship that is easily applicable to the Overdose lyrics. And also I think that it's something that we've probably all experienced at some point. If we haven't, I feel bad for you because it's actually kind of fun to go through that. There's good parts, there's suffering, and then you get over it and you're able to look back and be a better person, a more fulfilled person. So... yeah, we definitely Overdose something that all three of us relate to pretty heavily.
Well, and the other part of that too is when you're in a relationship with crazy, there's some really really good parts of it. There's breakup, and then you make up, and in the making up, you're like, oh yeah, this is why I'm still with crazy. This is great, and then you break up again.
We couldn't put it any better. That's exactly what that song's about.
I just wanted to hear you, Nikki, say that guy was crazy. Oh yeah, he was crazy.
Can't say that on the record.
Oh, I was pushing for it. Can we play a little bit of Glitter and Gold and then come back and talk about that one as well?
Yep,
sounds good.
All right. All right, so that is Glitter and Gold. Let's get into that. You want to take that, Eric or Matt or Nikki? Who's going to do it?
Yeah, well, we could talk about the way that kind of song came about. We had a song that was one of the first songs we ever wrote, and it was cool, and it was done, and we never really felt like it was kind of all the way to what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of used that song and in a way sampled parts of it to create a new song, and by the time we were done, we were left with like very, very little from the original song, but this great new thing came out of it. And that sort of happens sometimes with us where we'll think a song is done and completely refine it and it'll become something new. So it's kind of an experiment in that procedure for us, and it worked out great in that case.
That's part of the lyrical content of it. So that was a big part of how the song came about. It was a second generation song. And lyrically, we were just starting to prepare our live show. We formed in the studio first in basically a homemade studio that we put together, And then we had the task at hand of like, okay, everyone's got to, we got to figure out who's playing what and how we're presenting this live. And Glitter and Gold is basically offering a vote of confidence to somebody, whether it's us or somebody else listening, that that they can perform with confidence. And it's basically like a go out and do this, like you have it in you kind of thing, which is actually something you kind of need to hear that every day if you're performing or getting on a stage. It's all about being on a stage and being in front of a lot of people, and that there's kind of a method that even if you know how to do that, you need to hear over and over again.
So Glitter and Gold is the second generation of it. What was the original song called?
It was called Someday.
It's called Someday, and basically the refrain from that turned into the bridge of Glitter and Gold, which I'm not sure if you played or if everyone heard, but that's the piece of that song that went into that song the strongest.
So is that something that's available too, that original song that people can go back and kind of listen?
No, that one never, we do a lot of things that, you know, never see the light of day, and that was one of them. So no, nobody will ever hear that song.
A big part of our process is cannibalizing pieces of things we've done over the course of our time together from new things, like recycling them and reusing them and building other pieces out of them.
Slowing things down to halftime,
yeah.
Playing songs backwards and see what comes out of it. Like, we kind of do some crazy stuff. And
is there any
things at the wall and see what sticks.
Is there ever any sort of temptation to release some of that stuff? Because I think, you know, for a large audience, I think they'd go, we don't care. We like the hit, and the hit is, you know, Glitter and Gold. But for, like, the really diehards, is there ever that kind of temptation to be like, all right, you know, come along
maybe
in this journey with us?
Maybe, like, 20 years on our, like, greatest hits box set, you know, it'll be one of those, like, early studio demos. But we're more excited about the new songs we're writing. We always have new things in the works, and we're working on our album right now. So we're definitely not looking backwards at all right now.
Once we're Nirvana and we release In Utero with a bunch of, like, studio jams that are not songs, we'll release those things.
Have you guys heard any of that stuff?
Yeah, we listened in the van.
We're huge Nirvana fans, and the extra stuff included on that album is just kind of silly. I mean, it's fun, but I think I said to Eric while we were listening to it on tour, this recent tour, that you know you've made it when you can put crap like this on a record and people are, like, actually excited to listen to it.
99% of the time, like, the band didn't put these things on their original album for a reason, and I'm sure Kurt Cobain would not be happy. You know,
Kurt Cobain would never want that stuff out there, but it is kind of curious. There's a scene behind the curtain moment, and when you're that well respected, and when you're that good at writing songs, you wanna listen to every little thing someone's done and be like, oh, maybe there's something special deep within this.
So once we're famous enough, people want to go back into our backstory and figure out how we pieced together Glitter and Gold and where it came from and how that song started out. Maybe it'll be interesting for them.
Yeah, for sure. I want to ask you, when is the album due to come out?
Probably around, we're hoping it can come out right around South by Southwest, so March of next year. We're going to finish it by the end of the year, and then there's always a couple months of kind of preparation for the release. So we're hoping towards the end of March of next year.
And South by Southwest is kind of where you guys did your first couple of live shows together, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it'd be very cool if 1 year later we're back and our album is out or almost out. It would kind of, it would go great to make that happen by then.
How crazy is South by Southwest?
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. I love it just as a festival. I've been going for the last few years. And to be able to play there, and especially to play, like, a bunch of shows and have that whole, like, crazy experience. It's fun, and it's overwhelming, and there's a lot of great music that we saw, and it's a great festival. I love it.
I want to ask you one kind of final thing. You're on tour right now with Bastille, right?
Just ended.
Oh, just ended. Let me ask you this, then. How was that?
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
It was, like, the three bands got along really well.
The other band, there was another band that was opening in the first spot called Nightmare and the Cat.
Yeah, and it was one of these situations where we became closer friends over the course of the tour, and it was really only 2.5 weeks, but it's like kind of like summer camp. You kind of compress time, and by the end you feel like these people are like your best friends in the world. And at the last show at the Bowery Ballroom, we all came up on stage, all the bands came up on stage mm-hmm. for Bastille's song Pompeii and kind of sang along and danced, and it was just a great culmination of the couple of weeks together.
So it's two.
And they're both for bands. If you ever have the opportunity to go see either of them, please do.
The Bastille and then Nightmare.
What Nightmare was and the Cat.
Nightmare and the Cat.
And the Cat. Okay. I also, I'm looking online, I'm trying to find me some music from Basement, because I hear those guys are really...
the only reason we were comfortable sharing that is because we are very aware of how little internet presence there is.
I hear those guys are going to break out big.
Yeah, that's another 20th anniversary special.
Yeah.
That might be the 40th anniversary. It might be the posthumous release.
I appreciate you guys taking some time. It's Little Daylight. It's Nikki and Matt and Eric from their studio out in New York. Thank you so much, you guys, and best of luck.
Great, thank you.
Well, it was fun.
You bet. Thanks, guys.